Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, you can turn. If you don't, just listen for a minute. Apostle Paul is talking about how the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. And he said there in verse 6, and when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You say, preacher, why? Why would God forbid them from preaching the word in Asia? Well, it's because he had a direction he wanted them to go in. And after they were come to Mysia, they assayed unto Bethany, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so they were passing by Mysia and came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul. In the night there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for them to preach the gospel unto them. Last Monday, one of the men from Brother Ricky's church and myself, we had our list together and we went to Home Depot to purchase the paint and the supplies that we needed. We made the trip from San Benito all the way down to Gallup, New Mexico, which is 24 miles, takes a little about 45-minute drive. We loaded up, brought the supplies back. When we got there, walked around in front of the radio station, and Lewis was peeling the paint off, and when I looked, I said, there's no way. All that siding was rotten. It's no use to put fresh paint over that rotten siding and a brand new sign. I said, Ricky, what do you think if we get the siding? He said, Frank, I think that'd be a good idea. I get back in the van, drive back to Gallup, get 14 sheets of siding. Had kind of a bad experience. The two young men who were supposed to be helping me load this, they walked away, and I got ill. Get all the way back to San Benito, another 45 minutes. It's late Monday afternoon. We started loading the stuff, and some of the tools that I'd bought, they were missing. The young boys that were supposed to be helping me, they left them in the basket. I'm hot. I pick up the phone. I call the store. Hello, Home Depot. How can we help you? I said, I'm going to speak to the manager. The lady gets on the phone. She starts talking to me, and I told her my dilemma, and I said, this is twice I've been there today. I said, we spent quite a bit of money with you folks today, and I said, I'm missing. Here I am, San Benito, and I need the supply. And she apologized. She wanted to know what young man was supposed to be helping me. And I said, she said, my name is Carol. If you come back in, we'll make it all right. I said, do you have on a red plaid shirt today and glasses? And she said, yes, I did. I said, I was the guy in overalls that you spoke to me twice. She said, oh, I remember you now. I didn't get to go back on Tuesday. Instead, we waited till Wednesday. Wednesday morning, Brother Ricky, his phone quit working. I said, well, look, we're going into Gallup. He said, can I ride with you? Well, I'll go by and we'll get a battery. I got to have my phone. We get in the van, drive all the way back to Gallup. Now, listen to me. Think about this for just a second, the time. We drive all the way back into Gallup. We pull into, there is a Walmart. We pull into Walmart. He gets out and goes into Walmart. They don't have a battery. Across the plaza, across the way is a radio shack. We pull over there. He goes in, gets his battery, gets back in the van. We pull around the Home Depot. Right before the week that we left, I had my brother-in-law lettered the van, so it's got Harmony Baptist Church, Ramsur, North Carolina on it. We get out of the van, we're walking into Home Depot, and as we're walking together into Home Depot, the door's open, there's a Navajo man who walks out, just like I'm walking toward Raleigh, and he stops and he says, is that your van? I didn't know whether to say yeah or no. I said, yes, sir, it is. Steve reaches his hand up, and he says, thank you. Thank you for coming all this way out here to share Jesus Christ with us. He said, before I got saved, I was one of those that lived in the bushes beside the interstate. I was one of those that was hooked on alcohol.
was one of those that was hooked on drugs. But Jesus said, I was one of those that ran prostitutes. But God changed my life. He said, before Christ, life had no meaning. I took a shotgun, put it to my face, pulled the trigger, and it did not go off. I tried to kill myself. I drove my car down the interstate. I flipped it. They had to cut me out of the car. God let me live. He said, thank you for coming all this way. Because you see, my people need Christ. By that time, I'm a basket case. He said, I prayed and asked God, after I got saved, Lord, if you'll give me transportation, I'll use my vehicle to take people to church. He said, see that van, that minivan? God gave me that van. I said, now, Lord, you gave me the van. I need gas to put in the van. I need a job. You think about work is hard here. You wait till you get out there. He said, I came here to Home Depot. I said, you work here? He said, yes, sir, I work here. He said, I came here to Home Depot. I put in an application, and as I was leaving, They called me back for an interview. I came in and interviewed. They hired me on the spot. He said, I'm on my lunch break. Think about that. From the time that we left and drove all the way to Gallup, to the Walmart, to the Radio Shack, to park the van, to walking inside, and he's walking out, and it was a divine appointment of God. It said, you're on the right track. These people need Jesus Christ. Wednesday afternoon, we had already arranged to take food to the Navajo reservation. I have pictures on my phone. I'd be glad. Well, you'll see those. Can you imagine living in a 90-some degree with no fan, with no air condition, no running water, no indoor plumbing, no toilet other than a path and an outhouse, a well-worn path. We stopped at, they call these little Hogan's. They're just a little bit bigger than the Sunday school room, honest, and a whole family lives there. We stopped at one. Young man, I mentioned Joe and his wife, Savannah. Is that right? Witness of him?
Yes.
Joe had been drinking some that day. But you see, folks, when you lose hope, when life has no meaning, people turn to alcohol, drugs. What's the use of living? Here's a couple, 26, 27. Same age as Jonathan Jones. 27 years old. He has two children. What, 2 and 4? Somewhere thereabouts. They could not care for their kids, so they sent them to Oklahoma. We gave them a basket of food. One by one, they came, shook our hands, hugged our necks. Joe went around first. His wife did the same thing. Then he came around again and thanked us for a basket of $40 of food. We got back in the van, went to another spot. As we were sitting there talking to a couple of folks, my phone rang. I looked down at it, and it was Brother Jim White calling. I didn't really want to answer while we were talking to people. I just let it ring, stuck it back in my pocket. We made our way to the next house. We got to the next house. This elderly Navajo lady. What was her name? Was it Lily?
Helen.
Helen. She didn't speak English. I would imagine she's 80-some years of age. Sitting out there beside her house in the shade, the girls here gathered around her. They fell in love with Helen. She had a bracelet that she had made. She had two of them that somebody broke in her house and stole one. The girls gathered around and began to sing, Jesus Loves Me. Helen could sing a few words of English. And in Navajo, she told Pastor Nelson, I wish you would go down and see my son James So. He's down there in the next house. He just recently had his leg amputated. call, and I looked down, and Pastor Nelson, Brother Ricky, they're down at the next house where James So lives. I start to make my way down to that house. I step up on the porch. Ricky looks at me, and he said, "This is one of those places, if we were back home, we would not go to." Young man who came to the door was James Jr. He had nothing to do with us, did not want us there at all. You could hear in the background noise going on. They did not invite us in, did not want, they took the food, but they did not want us to come in. As I'm standing there, there was a young man that come walking down, and he had on the gang attire. And by the way, gangs are very, very prevalent. He had on the gang hat. He had on the gang outfit. And he was doing the gang symbols, whatever. Man, I don't know, but it wasn't good. Looking at us like, "What are you doing on my turf for?" We turned and started to walk away. And just as we walked away, James Jr. comes out of the house and says, "My dad wants to see." 5 minutes before that, he didn't want to have anything to do with us. We open the door, we go in, and here's a man who's laying, he's just recently amputated. He's bandaged up. We've talked to him. We kneel and pray for him. We pray the plan of salvation. His son, who didn't want a thing to do with us, we look over at these people. And when we get up off our knees, James Jr. has tears. Pastor Nelson walks out and he said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I've been trying for so long to get in that house to share the gospel. I've been trying to get in. He would not let me in." I said, wait a minute. You don't know what happened. Brother Nelson, you don't know what's going on. Missionary friend of mine just called. And he was praying.
There's power in prayer. There's soul-saving power in the blood. It does not matter if you're American, Navajo, rich, black, white, purple, green. You need Christ. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Last Wednesday night, Pastor Nelson had prepared, his wife had prepared us a meal. We sat outside underneath the picnic tables. 5:30, 5:45, service time started at 6. I looked over at Pastor Nelson. I said, "Are you speaking tonight, Pastor Nelson?" "No, Preacher Frank, you are." "Oh, really?" Sitting outside on the picnic table. We just got back from delivering food. I had not prepared. Obviously, I didn't know what I was preaching. Of course, the Bible says be able to give an answer at any time. I looked over at Christian. I said, "Christian, run upstairs to my room, find my green bag, find my Bible in my bag." And I said, "Bring it to me." I brought a message. Then we had prayer, and here's what they did. The scale, if you have prayer, write your prayer request down. Rodney, if you have a prayer request, they'd write your prayer request down. And then the man that was leading would get up and he would say, "Who would take Gail's prayer request? Who will take Rodney's prayer request? Who will take Steve's prayer request?" And one by one, they would stand and pray. And I gave them my prayer request. It was Navajo man. And I did not know. As I knelt, as I prayed, he got up out of where he was. He'd come over and put his hands on me and prayed in Navajo. Pastor Nelson came over and put his hands on me and prayed in Navajo. The other man prayed in Navajo for me, for my needs. You see, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the answer to all the world's needs. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, your greatest need is Him. You may not be in 2,000 miles away. You may be right here in Ramsour. You may be in Guilford County, Alamance County, I don't know. But one thing is for sure, Jesus Christ the Savior of the world, died for your sins, paid your price, and in order to go to heaven, if you'll accept his shed blood, he'll save your unworthy soul. And when that time comes, you breathe your last breath, thank God, there's a home waiting on the other side.